Our Hebrew scripture reading today comes from the book of Judges, chapter 16. We're picking up at the end of the life of Samson. We've missed a whole lot of the action movie violent sections at the beginning, which I'll fill you in on later, but we've got some of that material coming in here, so be ready if you have little ears near you and they don't like violent stories. But hear now what God has recorded in this passage. Once Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute and went in to her. The Gazites were told, "Samson has come here." So they circled around and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They kept quiet all night, thinking, "Let us wait until the light of the morning, and then we'll kill him." But Samson lay only until midnight. Then at midnight he rose up, took hold of the doors of the city gate and the two posts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. Now after this he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came to her and said, "Coax him and find out what makes his strength so great, and how we may overpower him so that we may bind him in order to subdue him. We will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me what makes your strength so great, and how you could be bound so that no one could subdue you." Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that are not dried out, then I shall become weak and be like anyone else." So the lords of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not dried out, and she bound him with them. And while the men were lying in wait in an inner chamber of her home, she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he snapped the bowstrings, as a strand of fiber snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. And then Delilah said to Samson, "You have mocked me and told me lies. So please tell me how you could be bound." And he says to her, "If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like anyone else." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And the men were still lying in wait in her house. But he snapped the ropes off his arms like a piece of thread. And then Delilah says to Samson again, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you can really be bound." And he says to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and make it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like anyone else." So while she slept, Delilah did his hair, that's a transliteration, and wove them into the web and made them tight with the pin. And then she said to him, "The Philistines are here again." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pin, the loom, and the web. And she said to him, "How can you tell me you love me when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me 3 times now and have not told me what makes you so strong." And finally, after she pressed him with her word that day after day, he was tired to death of her words. So he finally told her his whole secret and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If you cut my hair, then my strength will leave me. I will become weak and be like anyone else." Now when Delilah realized that he had told her his whole secret, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "The time has come, for he has told his whole secret to me." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her, brought the money in their hands, and she let Samson fall asleep in her lap, and she called a man to her, and he shaved the 7 locks of hair on Samson's head. He began to weaken, and his strength left him. And then she said, for the fourth time, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And when he awoke from his sleep, he thought, "I will go out as the other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. So the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Please pray with me. Holy God, we come before you and this passage, hungry for a word from you this morning. Be with us in the interpretation of this passage, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So during our sermon series on teams this month, Andrew and I are exploring ways to function and thrive in groups. And as we were brainstorming for this series, one of the first stories that came to mind for me was the story of Samson, Delilah, and the Philistines in the book of Judges. Delilah is one of the most derided women in Scripture. There's a book called The Bad Girls of the Bible, and she is one of the featured residents of that book. She is usually described as someone who uses her feminine wiles to distract and destroy Samson. And that is not a new concept, surely. That is not a new archetype in our landscape, that sexuality is a weapon, that women use it as a source of seduction and power. But what is going on in this story is a lot more complex than a cut and dry story of a faithful judge and a conniving woman and a group of politicians trying to influence them both. It is a story of teams gone awry, a story where game theory helps us out a little bit. As I took a closer look, it became clearer to me that we have been playing a zero-sum game with the way we interpret this text. One of our guest speakers this summer, the Reverend Dr. Ken Evers Hood, came and spoke to us about his book, The Irrational Jesus, which is based around game theory concepts of leadership and group dynamics. And he spoke passionately with us about the types of games that we play, whether we know we are playing them or not, and the kind of impact that has on the community we create, the human beings that we become. And he explained to us that zero-sum games are the kind where only one person or team will win in a contest of competition. One person or team's gain is clearly the other person or team's loss. And in these kinds of games, clear winners and clear losers emerge. It's very black and white, if you will. It's very loser-winner. It's very one or the other. Samson and Delilah and the Philistines are playing an extreme version of a zero-sum game. But Delilah and the Philistines are playing one with Samson, one that he doesn't know is happening at the very same time. Because Samson is part of a group of elite Israelites called the Nazarites, he was a warrior, he was a judge, and his strength came from his long uncut hair and a vow his mother made about his life before he was born. He was famous in his community, known for his major feats of strength. And earlier in the story, he tells his parents that he wants to buck tradition and marry a Philistine woman. This would have been a major move against the life of purity and faithfulness he was supposed to live as a Nazarite. If anything, his parents would want him to marry a proper girl, a proper Jewish girl. But Samson, with his strength and his position as a judge and warrior in Israel, gets what he wants. But that married life never comes to pass for him. That wedding feast ends in a similar fashion for you Game of Thrones fans out there. It ends in a very similar fashion as the Red Wedding does in the Game of Thrones. It's an incredibly bloody story. It is not one that I wanted to read up here, but if you want to look at the backstory of Samson, go right ahead. It is a nasty story, one that involves dozens of people dying, Samson's wife and father-in-law also dying, due in part to Samson's anger and the violence he commits and the deep division between these two communities. The Philistine community would have remembered this tragedy when they came to Delilah to ask her to find out what gave Samson his strength. They had hoped to catch him when he went to see the sex worker at the beginning of chapter 16, and that fails because Samson carries away the doors and leaves town. And now Samson has fallen in love with somebody else, a woman named Delilah, right after he spends the night in town. And he tells Delilah that he loves her. But we never know how Delilah feels about him. He has strong feelings for her and decides he wants to be with her. End of story. He doesn't need a wedding feast this time. He doesn't want to have a redo of what happened earlier. And I think Delilah would have known this story too, because she is from the valley where he grew up. So it's not like she's a stranger to him. It's no surprise then that she says yes to uncovering the source of his strength and to vindicating the lives of those Philistines who were killed earlier. The Philistine leaders offered her enough silver to amass a major fortune and live as an independent woman for the rest of her life. But what follows is a very playful game, one that might look harmless and a little flirtatious from the outside observer. But Delilah has other motives, ones that are more about protecting herself. Nowhere in this passage is she named as a full-blooded Philistine either. Dr. Will Gaffney of Bright Divinity claims that Delilah might be half Israelite, half Philistine, and that her father was the Israelite. Because the Jewish lineage carries on through the mother, Delilah would not be considered a Jew. The lack of mention makes it more of a possibility than not, as the lineage of the other characters in this story is really important. So this means that she is one of the most powerful characters in this story. She appears to be self-sufficient and have her own home and have no dependents, and that would be very unusual in the Middle Bronze era, if any of you know your ancient history. Delilah is not the sex worker at the beginning of the story. We've been placing something on Delilah that wasn't hers all along to carry. And when we tell this story, we forget the trail of violence that Samson and the Philistines are playing, the game that they're playing of violence. And Delilah is persistent in getting what she wants. When one of her games fails, she tries again. And she tries again and again, and finally she succeeds. The Philistines have what they want. They have Samson in a prison. Samson loses his strength, and he succumbs to the Philistines. They finally have their warrior as a prisoner, and Delilah has all the silver she could ever want. And Samson ends up winning in the end, according to this account. The rest of the chapter tells the story of him getting his strength back the longer his hair grows, and he ends up killing everyone that took him out. This tale pulls no punches, church. It is bloody and violent, full of manipulation and intrigue. It is a tale of humanity at its worst, using their critical thinking to harm and destroy each other. The games they all play in this account are destructive and function with the notion that Samson and Delilah and the Philistines must respond with equal or greater force to one another to win. There is no reality in which anyone wins in this story, I believe, unless we look at Delilah. She is the one with the silver in the end, after all. She's the only one left standing who isn't dead. All the boys have killed each other off, and she is left with her independent wealth and her security. I question that as the answer, though, too. Is the moral of zero-sum game theory to get yours while the getting is good? I don't think that's right either. That does not resonate with me as a true statement or a desirous way for us to treat each other. This week, I found myself thinking about one of my favorite shows that ended last year, The Americans. Anyone watch The Americans? Yes. I think that was in my subconscious as well because of all the CIA news coming out this week about Russian informants and Russian spies and double agents. And I love this show because it's about a Russian family living in the 1980s suburbs outside of DC, infiltrating the highest levels of the federal government. It's a heartbreaking and adrenaline-pumping show. But one of the characters, Paige, reminds me a lot of Delilah. Paige is the oldest daughter of the two Russian spies, and she's been raised entirely American. So she looks and talks and behaves like an American teenager, but she has Russian parents. And she has an entirely different outlook on life when she realizes who her parents really are. She falls in love with the boy across the street, which sounds pretty innocuous, but he happens to be the son of a CIA agent. So she cannot truly love him because he is her parents' enemy. She does care about him, and she plays him a little bit and breaks his heart. And in the end of the season finale, she plays her parents. They are escaping to Canada to get away from the American government. And on the last stop before they get to the Canadian border, she gets off the train because she can't stomach leaving the place that she loves, because she has found that this is really her home. She takes ownership of her future in a way that surprises everyone. Since she was the dutiful double agent for her parents, spying on the CIA agent who was the father of her boyfriend and coming home and telling her parents about it. She was part of a church, and she had to deal with all sorts of double agent type stuff there too, but she decided she wants a different life. I think about that when we think about these games, and that there are third ways to live and to play and to love. You don't need to be the last one standing with all the silver in your pockets to be the winner at the end of the game. There are different games to play, games that involve solidarity, games that involve self-preservation, certainly, but also honesty with one another about who we are and who we're meant to be. I know some folks think that stories like this are in the Bible because they're meant to tell us how to live, but I don't think that's really the case. I think stories like this are here in the book of Judges to remind us who we are not meant to be. I don't think we're meant to really be like Samson or Delilah or the Philistines. I think it's a hard look in the mirror. I certainly hope that none of us end up in a situation like that, not that gory and not that difficult, but we play all sorts of other games in our lives like that too, with that same level of intensity and deep need for survival. And my hope and prayer is that as we enter into this series around teams more fully, is that we live into what it means to be a team working together. Amen.